What are you learning to do? Are we learning to be prideful in front of Him? Some people bombard the gates of heaven with prayer, and they pray these righteous prayers like they're just expecting God to just do something. But God heard their cry. It came up to God by reason of their bondage, their persecution, their children's persecution, their wives' persecution, their husband's persecution, watching their grandfathers being beat in the field and being told that you are nothing, that you are no good, that you are a rotten scoundrel, that you're stupid, that you can't learn anything. This is all you'll ever be good for, standing in the hot sun making bricks for the real people who matter. They got so broken that they started to crack, and out of their spirit flowed crying. But you'll notice something in them verses. The Bible does not say that they cried out to God. It said that they cried. Do you see that? It didn't say they cried out to God. It said that their crying came before God. Not that they cried out to God. After hundreds of years and all this time in bondage, it's very possible that a lot of the Israelites didn't even know who the real God was at this point, because they had been seeing idol worship for so long. They had been seeing a certain brainwashed tactic of Egypt to try to get them into a certain state of mind that these people didn't even know who to cry to. They didn't cry out to God. They cried and God heard it. God heard it. And God heard their groaning. And God remembered His covenant with Abraham. All through this story, I keep telling you that they're multiplying. They're multiplying. They're multiplying. We're trying to get the midwives to slow them down, but they keep on multiplying. It's because God made a covenant with Abraham. And when God makes a covenant with you, the Egyptians can't stop it. Even though they was in slavery, even though they was in bondage, even though they're being beat down, even though they're being talked down to, even though they're being persecuted to the point of being broken, the covenant of God is multiplying on their lives so much so that it's making the people doing the persecute sweat. It's making them sweat, and it's making them worry. It makes them go out into the village there, and it makes them take the firstborn son of the Israelites, and it makes them kill them. Makes them throw them in the rivers. When God has covenant on your life, even in your hardest moment, the covenant is still working. God heard the cry of the people because of the covenant, not because they knew who God was, not because they knew how to pray, not because they knew all the fancy words, not because they thought that, you know what, if I come to the altar and I get on my knees and I lay prostrate before the Lord, I put my hands on it, I put my forehead on the ground, and I pray this way. Christianity is not witchcraft. You can't do something a certain way over and over again and expect a different result. Or you can't do something a certain way over and over again and expect God to honor it every single time. We don't get a big pot and get a fire under it and put some ingredients into it. And hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Jesus, I'm walking counterclockwise around this pot. And Lord, I believe it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Every person here in this room, you have a covenant if you're saved and know the Lord Jesus Christ. And that covenant is working for you in your life even when you're so broken that you can't hardly cry out to God. Have you been so tired? And have you been so worn out? And have you been so distraught? And you've been so felt like I'm so lost, and I'm in a wilderness, I'm in a desert, I'm all by myself, and I can't seem to get any relief. The bank account won't stop bleeding, and the kids won't act any better. It's just another bad decision, and another bad. And no matter how many job applications I put in, I can't seem to. But there's a covenant working for you. There is a covenant working for you That even though we make bad decisions and we go through a hard time, God will never cease to hear your cry. What happens when we cry? Crying doesn't mean a thing. What happens when we cry is we get to a place where we are so humble and we are so shattered and we are so broken and my way doesn't work that we are willing to let it out, that we're willing to let it go. And when we let it go, that's when God has the opportunity to say, okay, now we need to do this in your life. Up until that point, we don't necessarily choose God's way. But when we come broken and our souls are so fractured that tears stream down our face even in the midst of others, that we don't care what people think about us. I don't care that they think I'm going through a hard time because I'm broken. Right there is where God is the mightiest in your life. In your weakness, that's when He's strong. This is what's happening in their life. When they start to cry out and reach that place of humility, that's when God can start to reach down and start to do things. Not that He didn't want to do it prior, but you haven't created an atmosphere for God to move in your life until you do it His way. Us being harsh, or us being prideful, or us thinking that the money is ours, we'll just do it our own way. It's my money anyway. I go work for it. The Lord allows you to go to work. The Lord allows you to be productive. The Lord allows you to draw that check or to get that money or however it happens. Every good thing is a gift from God. If you stop trying to steal God's glory and get back to where we belong, the hands of God can put us back on the potter's wheel and can start to move us and mold us and make us an image and a likeness of Jesus instead of the mess that we sometimes find ourselves in. Last but not least, verse number 25. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and He had respect for them. God had respect for a bunch of slaves in the desert. The word respect, in a King James parallel Bible, the word respect, it means this: to regard, to respect, because of their design and purpose. God said, I heard the children crying. They didn't even call my name, but I heard them crying. And in their crying, I respect them because of their design and their purpose. They're doing exactly what I created them for. Not to be weak or to be a broken pushover, but He created you to come to Him and to say, I need to do it your way. I need to do it your way. To seek Him out, to find Him. For in the likeness and image of God made He them. You. Made in the likeness and image of God. Perfectly designed and purposed to be here and to show kindness and love and spread the gospel. That's our point and purpose. That's the Great Commission. That's what we're here for. The houses we get to borrow and the cars we get to enjoy while we're here, they're just tools to make the gospel work so that we can see people's lives come back together, so that the gospel can heal brokenness and the cross can call loudly and say that this is the way. Choose Him and He can give you rest. He can give you rest. God has respect for you. Even in the midst of what you have done, in the midst of what you are doing, what you have become, or what you are, when God hears the humility of His people, He says, I respect that because of the covenant that He's made with you and your forefathers. See, you don't know it, but somebody is crying out for you. Somebody is praying on your behalf. Some grandmother, some mother, some kid, some niece, some nephew, some aunt, some uncle. Somebody is praying. And through covenant, through the cry, God is hearing. And God starts to move, and He starts to make that muddled mess make perfectly good sense. Make perfectly good sense when we get to a place in life where we belong, and that place is totally dependent on Him, because we know that we can't do it our own way. Amen. Would you stand to your feet all over this place? Would you stand to your feet? Sometimes we feel like the things that we've done makes us somebody that can't be respected. God respects you. Sometimes we feel like that we've strayed so far from God. How are you ever going to get me back? It's called covenant. It's called covenant. Sometimes we can get so lost. I've been there. We get so distraught that I got down on my knees and I say, Lord, I've made such a mess, Lord, I don't even want to pray to you. I've said that. But I follow it up like this. But I don't have anything else. I got nothing else. You're it. All of my purpose and all of my design. The day that I gave my life to Jesus and He made that covenant with me, it's all about Him. And we get to those places. But I want to tell you, if you're there this morning, or if you've been there, or if you're warming up to go there, you are not alone. He is there for you. When I look out and I see faces, I see overcomers. I see people who have just come through a mess. I see people who have just come out completely of a mess. Or I see people that is going into a mess. That's called life. And that's where we live. But people of God, listen to me. When we're there, do not lose hope. When we're there, don't think that you're all alone. When you're there, don't think that nobody respects you. I can't even show my face at church because of what I've done. Nonsense. If you can't come here, where can you go? Nonsense. This past week, somebody said, I don't have church clothes. Nonsense. Wear your work clothes. They're church clothes. The altar is open. The altar is open. If you'd like to pray, if you'd like to say, Lord, I don't know the way. Let me tell you, God's not going to reach down in that mess and plop you right up and put your feet next to some white sandy beach with crystal clear water. God's not going to do it. But let me tell you what He will do. He'll take you by the hand and He'll say, stand on my feet. And He will very slowly, in process of time, He will walk you out of your mess. And when you've gotten out of your mess, you'll be able to be stronger and more complete and more Jesus-like than ever before. And you'll be able to help take somebody by the hand and put them on your feet and say, you know what, come and walk with me. I don't know how you feel, but come walk with me. I don't know exactly what you're going through, but come walk with me. That's what the house is for. To come and walk with Jesus. To come and walk with Him. All heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, in Jesus' name. Father, I know the look of brokenness for those people that have it on their face. I pray that Your anointing would touch them from the top of their head to the soles of their feet right now. I pray that You deliver them from their mess in the process of due time, based off good decisions, Spirit-led by the very presence that I feel right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Father God, I don't have any whatsoever anxiety for hard times to come, because I know whose feet I'm walking on. You didn't promise that it would always be easy, but You did promise that You'll walk me through it. You didn't tell me that it's going to be always fun, You didn't tell me that I wouldn't be persecuted. As a matter of fact, you said I'd be persecuted for your sake. But God, I see from your word that you'll make us stronger, that you'll give us more courage, that you will meet us where we're at. And even when we're broken and hurt, you still have respect for us. And you will never forget your covenant. And in Jesus' name, I pray this over all the people here. Father, your glorious name. I love you so much. I love you so much. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, and grant you peace in your rising up and your laying down, going out and coming in, both now and forevermore. Would everybody give your response with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. And everybody shouted a victorious amen. Amen. God bless you. We love you. There's no Sunday night service tonight in preparation of things. And I pray that each and every step you take, you go through this week. May God lead you and may He guide you. Lay His wisdom be in front of you and behind you. If you have prayer requests, write them on the papers in the narthex and put them on the table. We do have a business meeting for members after church. You are dismissed in Jesus' name.